Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota this morning. The Cup of Goodness program, where Romans chapter 2 tells us that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Not worrying about the severity of God. That was given to the Jews by Jesus himself. And the goodness of God is the way of life that God has given to the Gentiles during this dispensation of grace through Paul the Apostle. This is program number 112. This is Sunday morning, and we are in a dilemma a little bit here. I've got two series we could get going here based on what we're looking at this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. Our Sunday morning programs, we're trying to get through Ephesians, fantastic and marvelous book. We have been going and still will be going during the week looking at topics of thanks, some specific deep, if you want to call them deep, they're not really, but they're not what people are dealing with these days in religion. So these are some marvelous things, things that we should be thanking the Lord for and be praising him for with the music as he tells us to do so. He even tells us what it is he would have us praise him about, because he knows we can't even come up with those things, I guess. But this morning, as we get into Ephesians chapter 5, and we're down here to verse 21, we come upon another subject that we could talk for program after program. You're going to think that if you're reading along here in 22, you see the word wives, and you see husband, and you see the church, you see those things all combined. And, you know, you can come up with all sorts of books and Bible studies, but what the real issue here is in verse 21, where it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, the problem here is, in all sorts of things, is the word submitting. The problem is submission. Oh, so you're thinking right away, well, see, now you're saying that the wives have to submit and obey their husbands, etc., etc., etc. Well, this is why this could be a longer set of programs here, although it's a very simple situation. We have problems today. We're having problems in the homes. We have marriage problems. We have adultery rampant in our country. Unfaithfulness. We have divorce. We have issues like, what is going on? And this is amongst the Christians as well. The rest of the world doesn't seem to be bothered. They're satisfied with 2, 3, 4, 5 wives, and or just one, and both sides are just playing around, or both sides are just equally friendly to the other, to the opposite sex. You know, all this kind of stuff. And you see teenagers in situations that are way out of control physically. In fact, you get down into elementary school and you see kids having issues with boys versus girls, girls versus boys versus boys, girls versus girls. I mean, the thing is a mess, folks. And I think that you would agree with that. You can go to marriage counselings. You can get Bible studies, you can get video Bible studies, used to say cassette Bible studies, but now you can get all sorts of books and CDs on marriage and husbanding and wifing and the new homes, the way things really ought to be. You've got pastors that have taught, well, wives are the type of Holy Spirit within the home, so the husband should follow what, you know. It's a mess, folks. It's truly a mess. And as I look at these things and try to prepare for this part of Ephesians, I just see where just one comment leads to another comment, one verse leads to another verse. And is it really complicated? No, it really isn't complicated. We have abuse in the home. We have wife abuse. We have husband abuse, believe it or not. Yes, and we have children abuse. We have divorce. We have pastoral divorce issues where churches, especially out east, say that if the pastor's divorced, he can't be a pastor anymore. I mean, the thing is just a mess. It's terrible what's going on. So this morning, as we look at verse 21, before we get into 22, and then that opens the door up to marriages and like I say, remarriage and divorce and husbands versus wives, this kind of thing, we just have to look at that verse 21 still. And what we do here, we get out the King James Bible, of course, and rightly divide that thing, which is tremendously important and appropriate. We look up the word submit. That's a word that people just so hate. But we see some things, if we just do a careful little study here, not a detailed, tough one, but we just look up the appropriate verses that pop up. We see some things in Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians, and also in Hebrews and in Peter. So what do we see here? Well, we see that in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, we see two verses that I think most women are just afraid of anymore. And we see where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And Colossians says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Right away, we've got ladies that hate the King James Bible. And we've got men that grab a hold of that and they say, "Well, see there, woman, you need to obey me." And then on it goes. And the kids' lives turn tragic. They're not brought up properly with love and care and comfort. And the marriage gets to be a mess. And the husband is stepping out on the wife, unfaithful. And you've got the wife stepping out on the husband. You've got the wife that's getting into careers because the home is such a mess and financially. And, oh, this is, I think, the third time I've said this. Things are just such a mess. Before we deal with Ephesians 5:22 and Colossians 3:18 about submitting, let me make some more comments here, ask a few more questions, and then I think we can solve this thing really simply and happily and in a way that would please God. Now, seriously, it could fix marriages. It could rescue the kids from sinking ships. It could rescue husbands from abusive wives. It could rescue wives from abusive husbands. It could rescue families from religion. It could rescue everybody from false doctrine. A number of years ago, I was trying to help a divorce situation, an abusive wife situation, and a real mess of a marriage. And as I was even willing to guide this person to a woman's shelter, it was so rough. And I noticed on the wall, 1 Peter chapter 3, and it was listed in an area where there were other statements that encouraged abuse. If you understand what I'm saying, they were not the things people were to look to, but they were things that were showing women that they truly are being abused unnecessarily. And of course, they had a Bible verse up there. And they want people to realize the way of being a Christian, you know, the Bible way, is so abusive. But what we had there was 1 Peter chapter 3. They did not have Ephesians or Colossians. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, likewise, verse 1, "Ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." Now, if you look at those words, "be in subjection," and in Ephesians it says, "submit yourselves," we see a big difference here. We see women are to make the choice to follow their husbands. The risen Savior tells ladies, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. It's a choice that you make. Where in Peter, be in subjection to. Your husband tells you what to do. Your husband directs you. And it says in verse 7 then, see, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. But see, we got to remember, Peter is not written to us Gentiles, to us Christians today. Peter is written for the folks during the tribulation. And yes, during the tribulation, where the law must be followed, divorce will be extremely wrong. The women will have to be in subjection to their husband, and yet it says the husbands, take care of that woman, take care of that lady, because she's the weaker vessel. Take care of that lady, because if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. The man still has to do the right thing, or his prayer life will be hindered, and thus, you know, the blessings within the home and the strength, et cetera, will not be there. But the woman is in a position where she must be in subjection. That's not what we're looking at today. That's what people are being taught, and that's why we have such sad situations in the home. That's why we have ladies that, if they choose to please God and what they've been taught, they will just follow their husbands no matter what, and the husband will be abusive, and the husband will do this, and the man will do this, and the women will have to just be in subjection to, and they'll be miserable, they'll be unhappy, and the children will see that, and they don't want to grow up within a, quote, Christian home because of what they're seeing. dad being the macho king and the woman being the crawling lady. And I've seen this so many times. So that scripture on the wall is not written for today. And I started looking at that and I'm thinking, boy, there's got to be something wrong with that because this is what God says. And then I got more and more into the rightly dividing and looking at Paul's teachings and looking at what the risen Savior says. And now I recognize where that's a tribulational marriage. It will be tough during the tribulation. See, that's what people have to remember. You're not just going to be a Christian during the tribulation and you'll just have to be a better Christian. No, you got to follow the law. We won't go down that road this morning. It's just that's what the case will be. And so with that kind of lawfulness going on, the woman will be the weaker vessel. The man will have to step up to the plate and he'll have to direct his wife how to live and what to do, et cetera, et cetera. So the woman will have to be in subjection. And if not, it'll be a mess. And it not only will be a messy situation, it will be an eternal situation. Let's read the rest of that stuff in Peter, see? That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, which is what it will have to be for the ladies, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Then it says, likewise ye husbands. So there's a directive for women, but it's a tribulational directive. Yes, during the tribulation, the ladies are going to have to be just like as in old time, the holy women of the Old Testament being in subjection to their husbands, being that perfect little wife, maybe the husband will come around in due time. See, now I know a lot of ladies think that way today. And if you look at what's going on in the Middle East, all the Arabs and all that stuff, those ladies are like old time. They're doing the Old Testament type style, even though they're doing it a little out of hand. But they're under the fear of their husband, and the men must guide them and direct them, and they must be in subjection to their husbands. That's what's going on in the Middle East. That's what the men want over there. That's why you see what you see, the burqas or bahukas or whatever those are called. We see the tribulation in the Middle East doctrine or style of life. Okay, but see, this is probably one of the more important reasons for getting a hold of rightly dividing. Ladies, men, the whole marriage situation is a mess. Then, if you don't get it from a King James Bible and don't get it rightly divided, then we have other issues that pop up. And these are some of the comments and questions I have before we actually get into the simple answers to what's going on in this whole mess. Do you see why I could go into a whole other series here? But we've got to finish out that topics of praise this next week or so. And we also want to deal with this stuff in the Bible about marriage. It's supposed to be a marvelous thing. Let's go back here. I've got a couple notes here and things. What goes on today now, see, is we have not only are we having this adultery and this unfaithfulness and divorces everywhere, you know. Keep in mind that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, we see where it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So when we're looking at a marriage, we're also looking at a Christian and Christ. That's a marriage. So then as we look around here, we see what's going on in marriages. Like I say, unfaithfulness, adultery, divorce, abuse, mixed up situations, tragedy within the homes. We're seeing the same thing in the church. Now, we've got to recognize that when we talk about the church, we are talking about churches. Religion within Christianity. Because, see, it also says we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. That's the body of Christ. That is the church. We don't need to talk about the church, meaning the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is still fine. The body of Christ is still holy. Well, how can you say that? Because it's the body of Christ. is Him. True Christianity is based on yourself with Christ. You are the church. That's why even singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, singing unto yourselves, that's to the Lord. That's the relationship you have with God and with Christ. That's the importance of having the words from Christ. That's the importance of understanding, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing a King James Bible. That King James Bible from Genesis to Revelation is given to us by God. Christ's particular teachings to the church, to his body, is through Paul. Anything beyond that or different than that is a mixed-up marriage. And chances are, you're not really even married. That's the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is not what is issue here. Other than, are you a member or are you not? You may think you are a member of the body of Christ. You may think you're a member of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. The question is, or are you following an antichrist? Are you following another husband somewhere? Are you committing adultery on purpose? Are you committing adultery without knowing it? Unaware? Because you've been deceived by another man, another Christ, an antichrist? So what you see here is you see an opportunity and a need to study the scriptures, rightly divide them, not only to understand the marriage situation in the home today, but the marriage situation with Christ and the deception that's taking place. We have a false marriage developing, and we have an antichrist that people are being led to, which is spiritual adultery. They have an unknown God. They have a religion. Other ladies, other men in their lives, religion is full of denominations. Other men, other women, other people. A broken marriage. Is that making sense? We have a false body of Christ. People think that the local church is the body of Christ. That's the tough Bible guys. They believe and teach that. That can't be true, because all these different churches out there then are like different Christs, because the churches are different. This religion is full of denominations, full of other men, other women in a marriage situation. You've got people that are rejecting words. You've got people that are doing it their own way. We have people that are seeking happiness, a gain. And yet the Bible talks about these people. They have a reprobate mind. They're without truth. You've got ladies that fit the description of honorable and devout in Acts chapter 13, and yet those ladies despise Paul. Honorable and devout women were some of Paul's biggest enemies. They can't handle the grace. They can't handle from the true Christ. Then you've got these ladies that are spiritual Christian ladies, and they're looking to Peter for their description of how to be a woman, or they're looking to Proverbs to learn how to be that hard-working woman, and they're missing what Paul says to the women. The men who think they need to be that macho king man get that from Peter, or they go to the Old Testament, and they're missing what Paul says, what the risen Savior through Paul says to the men today. Or you've got a man who gets a hold of the Paul stuff, as I call it, gets a hold of the risen Savior, understands his King James Bible to a point, and then wants his family to follow and respond to him because he's the man of the house and here's how things ought to be, and they don't know what he's talking about. They don't understand a King James Bible. They don't understand rightly dividing. They don't understand Paul and the risen Savior's teachings. And see, I mean, we have a mess today, folks. You've got a woman that gets a hold of the Paul stuff, and she gets a hold of what the risen Savior says to her, and that the husband is not interested. And we still have an awkward situation there. Is it an okay marriage? Do we stay in the local church when things are a mess? Do we get out? Well, the Bible tells us to get out. So in a marriage, is the same thing there? Should the wives get away from this husband that's not interested? What if there's not abuse involved? What if they get along well? It's just that one believes this and one believes that, but there's no negative issues. There's no abuse. There's no misery. There's no physical denial. It's still an okay couple. How do we deal with that? What if the children, what if the teenager gets a hold of Paul's stuff, rightly dividing a King James Bible? What do they do? You've got a mom and a dad that are caught up in religion. You might even have a mom caught up in one religion, dad caught up in the other. And here are these teenagers, these young people, that are getting hold of the truth in a King James Bible. What do they do? Oh, wow, those are just lots of questions, aren't they? Well, yeah, and they're good questions. And listen, they are true. They're out there. I see them. I've seen them many, many times. And again, what about these pastors that are divorced? And then they shouldn't be in a pulpit anymore? What if that pastor's learned his lesson, has a good wife, good family, or is single, or whatever, and is willing to get back into the pulpit and to teach people the Bible, not a religion, or is he maybe teaching a religion? Or what is he going to do in the pulpit? Should he even be in the pulpit? Wow, those are a lot of questions there. And your time is up almost this morning, isn't it? Yeah, it is almost up here, and all I did was ask questions. Well, I'll tell you this. For those of you that aren't just going to sit around and let me be your teacher, or you're going to ignore what I'm teaching just because I'm not your official pastor, if you've got a King James Bible, I'll tell you where the answers are at. What we will be looking at here is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 33. We can be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 to 15, and then 27 and 28. We will be looking to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Those are where their answers are at, folks. They're there. And in the remaining minutes I've got, let's go back and just look at this word submission one more time. See, wives, you choose to submit yourselves unto your husbands. That's your choice. Drop the stuff in Peter, for that is not written to you. And then we see in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, the biggest problem is the fact that people today are not submitting themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's what he imputes into our personal lives. Well, what about the husbands? What do they have to do? I'm sure the women are saying, okay, what about my husband? If I'm going to submit to him, he certainly has to be worth submitting to. Yes, and we will deal with that. The breakdown, is it with the women? Is it with the men? Is it with Christ? Is it with the Bibles you have? Is it with a wrongly divided King James Bible? Where does this thing get fixed from? Well, we'll deal with that. We look to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16, and we see something that is really, really important when it comes to the word submission. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. What in the world does that mean? Do you know who we all should be submitting ourselves to? Well, yes, of course, Christ, no doubt. You'll find yourself being taught to submit yourself to the Antichrist, and his rules are very vague and very flaky and very wishy-washy. He just wants you to be happy and to think there's gain. So your pastors are teaching you to go that route. But this 1 Corinthians 16, 16, if you look at the couple of verses before and after that, which we will do at a different program, you will see that Christ is telling us to submit ourselves, all of us, to the ministry of Paul. He's not telling us to be in subjection to Paul. He's telling us to submit ourselves unto Paul and his ministry. And if we were to do that, then we just read Paul, read what he has to say, and I'm telling you, marriages would be fixed. Children would know what to do. Teenagers would know how to be. Husbands would know how to husband. Wives would know how to wife. And things would be fixed. The Antichrist wouldn't be getting any followers. And the pastors wouldn't be telling you what to do. Because, see, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And that's in Hebrews, which again is a tribulation verse. and it tells people to submit themselves to their pastor. And that's what the pastors are telling you today. You don't submit yourselves to your pastor. You don't submit yourselves to the Antichrist. You submit yourselves to the ministry of Paul, and he will make everything right. Because what Paul was taught about this was taught to him by Christ. Well, Paul wasn't even married. Right. Christ understands marriage. Remember what it says in Ephesians? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So the man has to get it together with Christ, as does the wife, and yet the wife should reverence her husband, and the husband should be worth reverencing. And how does that come about? 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. There's an order there. And if that order were to be followed, things would work out. See, keep in mind, with Christ and the church, the body of Christ, there is no chastisement. There is no abuse there. There's grace. There's goodness. There's kindness. There's long-suffering. There's forbearance. As the church learns from the risen Savior through Paul, so should the husband from Christ from Paul, so should the wife from the husband, so should the children from the wife from the husbands. Might have ended up a little confusing, but I'm telling you, the scriptures will fix your marriage, but it isn't what people are being taught. And your pastors do not have the solution. They are making you follow them. And that's a tribulational thing. Ladies, you're being taught tribulational verses. And husbands, you're treating your wife like it's the Old Testament. This stuff could be fixed. And we will talk about this at another program. But right now, let's finish, let's end this thing. And I'll try to organize this thing in a way that we can get this thing presented, as well as continuing our series on topics to praise and thank the Lord for. So much and so little time. Thank you.